Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone. Your home for Titans football. The Titans host the Ravens in an AFC clash. The Lee Company countdown to kickoff starts Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
It is the midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coach Dave McGinnis is in studio with us. Titans and Ravens this Sunday. You can hear the game right here on 104.5 The Zone. Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
So, Dave, great story at the Ringer talking about quarterbacks now. You know, obviously, percentages are up. A lot of that's throwing short passes. The one thing that really struck me was, the story's about it's easier to play quarterback than it's ever been before. Part of it being that out of the RPO throws, you're reading one guy if you're deciding to throw it or not. You're not reading an entire defense. What do you think of the premise that it's easier to play quarterback than it's ever been?
Paul, I like the question, and I think it's a very fair question. Let's dig a little deeper than that. Let's just dig deeper than the RPOs, and let's go to what people are able to do now defensively that you can't do now that you were able to do earlier. A lot of the part of playing this, of playing quarterback in the National Football League previously, you know, was the ability to stand in the pocket and be willing to withstand some punishment. And not only before the ball was thrown, but after the ball was thrown. I mean, you look at it. I mean, I've coached defense in this league for a lot of years, and you know, and you would know going in, it was like a boxing match. As many body blows as you could throw on their best player or their most integral player, and one of them is the quarterback. Well, that was important. That aspect of the game has been taken out. The other aspect of the game that's been taken out now is there is no fear at all going over the middle of the defense. Okay? Those throws have become wide open. And so what you've done now is you've increased the throwing space where they can throw. You have taken away the physical intimidation of ever getting hit. All right? And then we'll go to what you're talking about with the innovations of the RPOs and those types of things that are going on. I think it's become a much safer position to play. And so if you want to say easier, I think it takes a lot. I mean, I know, you know, defenses I've coached in the league, you know, previously, and I've seen the transition of guys now. I mean, there really is, you know, there's not an intimidation factor of being in the pocket as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Either before or after the throw.
The rule changes have gone in their favor, and that was one of the big things about this story is the middle of the field's open in a way it's not been open before. Hospital balls don't really, you know, you used to be reluctant to put a guy out there, and now you're not. There aren't too many throws of quarterback saying, well, I'm really putting that guy at risk if I throw that.
The other thing, too, as far as routes being open and stuff, there used to be a no-hit zone, you know, at 5 yards is where crossers, a lot of these crossing routes you're seeing now from all these reduced formations, you could turn and take away one of those receivers. I mean, we used to call it Cujo. I mean, you would turn and look up a receiver that was running a crossing route by formation you could see, and you could take him out because it was legal before the ball was thrown. Well, now that's not either. So, again, the game has expanded so much horizontally, and the vertical part of it is so open. And then don't discount the physical part of it.
You know, the QBs don't fear getting hit in the pocket, but we see more and more QBs leave the pocket now for offenses. Flacco's a great example. You wouldn't expect it, but he's very good throwing on the run.
Well, he always has been. I mean, he has been since the Senior Bowl. You know, when he came out in the Senior Bowl, everybody was impressed with two things. Number one, his unexpected mobility and his ability to throw on the run down there, and then just his arm strength. I mean, he was a top arm strength guy coming out, you know, and he's continued that in his career. But getting out of the pocket, Jonathan, again, you can't touch him. I mean, we've seen it. Yeah. We've seen it just through this year. I mean, we just saw it in our last ball game, you know, with us. I mean, that was It was a penalty. It was called a penalty, but you can't touch them anymore. And that makes a big, big difference. Believe me, you go back and ask, I would be interested. I've talked to some of them, just talk to them because I know them. You guys go back and talk to some former quarterbacks, you know, go back 10 years and just talk to those guys and ask them about what it's like throwing out of that tunnel and what it's like throwing with those people coming at you. And then what it's like leaving the pocket, knowing that even if you get hit after you threw it, you know, there was no consequences on the defender.
Dave McGinnis with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. So we saw Vrabel and the impact he had in the game plan for Houston. He knew that team well. Dean Pease certainly knows Baltimore well. Give us an example, Coach Mack, of, or maybe two examples, three maybe, of questions coaches within the organization right now would be asking Pease about that we wouldn't think of. Obviously, hey, what do they run? What are their tendencies? Give me some other things that are crucial to your overall game plan that you would want to know from someone that's been there and coached that team.
All right. Well, offensively, you know, they would ask, you know, in your game plan meetings, as you guys were setting things up, and Wink Martindale was with him, you know, Don was with him the whole time. What would you guys think? What would you guys think if this is what we were presenting them? What would your top three calls have been with him, you know, against some other people, say this formation group at this down and distance here, okay? Then what's your philosophy? What's your philosophy in the strike zone, you know, but the high red zone, when we get in there, what's your philosophy as far as first and second down throws? And then what's your go-to call, all right, if we're going to bunch them up down here, you know, with a third down call? Some of those types of things will come through. The other thing that they can ask you is this: what would give the tackles the most problem? You know, did you guys not like the whams that were run? Did you not like the misdirection coming at him? How does this defensive tackle, okay, how good is he at reading the down block? You know, how good is he at reading a flash screen? Those types of things, you know, you can get into what he thought about those guys. And then you take it to the other side of it. You can ask, look, those, now, of course, these are new receivers. All right, they've got new receivers, but what does Marty think when you guys were, you know, just going, you know, off the cuff in practice? Okay, if you were just going like what we saw Mike Vrabel do sometimes in practice, just put the ball down and call it. What was Marty's go-to call? What was his, you know, what did he like in here? I mean, because you get a pattern. Guys get a pattern. I mean, signal callers get a pattern in this league just as much as players get a pattern in this league. And so that's what they would ask him.
We have discussed a lot about linebacker depth and how that can confuse a quarterback and how you can play chess with the opposing QB.
Let me stop you. It confuses good quarterbacks.
Good quarterbacks.
Yes.
Do we move back one level with this Ravens defense? Is it Weddle that changes plays and can do things on the fly based on the coverage and the call?
Yeah, well, I mean, they do such a good job of bogeying or disguising their defenses, and they do a nice job of holding it pre-snap. And to be able to do that, Jonathan, what you've got to have, you've got to be confident as a safety as to where you're going to be, where your help is going to be, and you've already taken a snapshot, you've diagnosed formation, you've diagnosed splits, and going, this is how long I can hold it and still be able to get down and take away this part of the field, or this is how long I can hold it to get down to help cut. I'm supposed to help cut on this receiver to the right. Here's how long I can hold it to be able to get down, because I trust my corner out there to be able to funnel him into me at this particular point. But you have to be very confident and very experienced as a safety to do that, because what starts happening is, you know, when you start with a young safety and start telling him to disguise coverages, mm-hmm. Well, the thing that he starts to do is starts to over-exaggerate the disguise. And an over-exaggeration of a disguise in the third level is just as bad as standing where you're going to stand. Because, I mean, you know, you can kind of – a veteran quarterback, and that's why I stopped you and said a good quarterback. A veteran quarterback will look at that and say, well, he's just moving around to move around. You know, I know where he's going. But if you're stationary and you give him the same pre-snap look all of the time, that comes from experience, and then that also comes from a very intricate knowledge of where you're going to fit once the ball snapped.
I did a radio interview this morning with one of our Titans radio affiliates in Huntsville, and they have a player that played in a secondary with Weddle hosting their morning show. And he brought up that...
Who was it?
Gerard Powers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he...
I covered him, didn't he?
He said that Weddle had free range to change a coverage after the call was made and everyone's getting set up. How many players truly have that power in the NFL today, defensively?
Not many. Not many at all. I mean, and it comes with experience. And it's not only experience, Jonathan. I mean, it's not like, look, Jonathan, you've played safety for me for 7 years, so go ahead and do it now. No, it's you understand. You've been with me all week. You understand as we go through this game plan. You've been sitting there grinding the tape, you know, and we can put it up on the screen and start punching it, and you can start telling me what I'm thinking the way this goes. You have to be dialed in and tuned in. It's not just a matter of years you've been there. Mm-hmm. It's the quality of years and that you have been there and that coach trusts you to know that you are not making decisions. You're not guessing. You're making decisions off of what you guys have decided during the week.
The Midday 180 breaks down the X's and O's with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Wednesday afternoons at 12:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coach Mack is with us. He's presented each week by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Paul, Rashawn Evans has been a big discussion point for you this week, and you've got a former defensive coordinator across from you.
At his worst on Sunday, what did you see from him?
He's still slow. He's still slow triggering. I mean, he's not sure what he's seeing still, and that comes from not having seen it. And again, look, this guy is I watched him in college. And that doesn't mean anything right now. He's in the National Football League. The time that he missed in training camp was the time he needed to be able to be triggering right now. That doesn't come immediately. It happens to every young linebacker that comes into this league. I coached them for 30 years as they come in the league. Two things that you have to do with a young linebacker in this league. First of all, you have to retrain their eyes, because what they look at in the NCAA is entirely different from what they look at in the National Football League. Two things happen. Offensive linemen are on top of you quicker. They get to the point of attack quicker. And then plus there are more diverse schemes. The second thing you've got to do is teach them how to use their hands. All right. Because most of these really great players in college as linebackers, they are physically better than who they're playing against most of the time. Now, you play in the Southeast Conference, it evens out, you know, quite a bit, you know, a little bit more than it does in other places. But still, you're able to get by with a slip and slide play as a linebacker in college. You can't do it in the National Football League. These linemen are too good. You got to extend your hands. You got to punch. Go all the way back to Keith Bullock. Ask Keith Bullock, you know, what Gunther Cunningham started with and helped him, and what I continued when I took Keith over. You can start it with Stephen Tulloch when he got here, you know, who ended up being a good middle linebacker for us. But when he first came in here from North Carolina State, I mean, he was a see ball, get ball guy. I mean, he was everywhere, all right? It's your eyes. You have to train your eyes, and you cannot be late with your eyes, because it's eyes before feet when you're playing at the second level in this league, and that's what he's lacking right now. And the only way you get that is you've got to play him. You've got to play him, and he missed all of that time now. He's about at the point right now as you would be, you know, just basically probably coming out of training camp, but missed all the training camp practices. I'm just talking about he's at the point right now, Paul, where he would be with – 4 preseason games.
I know both options here are difficult. Is it easier to train the eyes for an inside linebacker versus an outside backer, or is it more difficult?
More difficult.
What are they looking for that Evans is now having to work through that the outside backer wouldn't be?
Well, what's that first read for the inside linebacker? Is he looking at a triangle?
It's a guard ball triangle. And it depends on what the defense is. You know, if you're running stunts, if you're stunning in front of him, then it's the back. Because you don't care about the triangle doesn't bother you because you got your gaps filled. If you're playing straight up and you're playing gap, you know, you're playing gap defense, then you've got to read the guard ball triangle, because
tell us the guard ball triangle.
Okay, look, you take from the shoulder, the outside shoulder of the guard to the outside shoulder of the next guard. That's the bottom of your triangle. And then you point it back towards through the quarterback to wherever the dot back is. If there's not a dot back, then you have to go where the back's offset. Okay, but still, the triangle, the guards will take you somewhere, because if a guard pulls, All right, a guard pulls. Here's what they're doing with the guard pulls. They're creating another gap on the other side of the line of scrimmage. If you'll just take a line and draw it right down the center of the ball, you start counting numbers. And it's a numbers game. And then you try to get as many numbers to the point of attack as they have. And then when you load the box, you're putting one more number to the point of attack. If they pull a guard, then you've got to be able to scrape and read and see that. If you're late doing that, what happens is if they're running a gap scheme, well, then they've got you outnumbered just because you're late. You're on the back side of the block. As we like to say, the key to being able to read and once you get really good with your eyes, Paul, what you can start doing. I mean, I coached Mike Singletary, one of the best ever, you know, of doing this, and I learned from him, you know, for all the years we were together too. You can get a pre-snap read with what's going on, and you can get ahead of a block. And once you start getting ahead of a block, then you can. But that, I mean, that's a long way into a Hall of Fame career now. What we're seeing right now with Rashawn Evans, he's on a learning curve, and the learning curve is steep inside. Now, he's got a plus. He's got two things going for him. First of all, he's got Mike Vrabel as his head coach, who knows it inside out, too. Tyrone McKenzie is excellent, but they can't play for him. They can't do it for him. He's got to get out there and do it.
Got to take your lumps with them, or do you package for them right now?
Well, you can't. I mean, you can't package because you can't say, okay, look, we've got Rashawn in now, so look, you guys don't pull very much, and you guys, you know, you get, you know.
But I'm saying third down or first and second down.
No. You've got to put him in there. He's got to play. He needs to play to be able to do this. I mean, there's no, and again, as I say, you know, I've watched him. I watched him very close. He's had some bad late plays, but he's also had some plays where he's fired up in there and fit up in there, and you can tell when he's getting comfortable doing it. But again, at that position, and as we were talking about earlier, like with Eric Weddle, with a safety, the quicker they train their eyes, you can just see them develop. You've watched Jayon Brown develop. I mean, we've all sat here and watched him. You watched him last year from being a C-ball, get-ball guy to a guy now that's reading what's going on.
Here's part of why I think it's so striking. Tell me what you guys think about this. First off, like, we've seen this with the Titans with receivers, right? Corey Davis with a hamstring. You know, we've done that before. We've seen Calico. We've seen Kendall, right? We've seen Justin Hunter. We know, receivers miscommunicating, running the wrong routes, Young figuring things out, all of that stuff. We've seen it at other positions. Titans had never invested anything big at inside linebackers since Randall Godfrey, right? It's always been a mid-round draft pick. An Avery Williamson, a Jayon Brown, whoever, Tulloch, or a guy who's come, and Barrett Rude, you know, somebody, Moises Foyiku, guys like that who have come in, right? And so the expectation's never been, we've never seen a young, top of the draft guy develop before our eyes at a position like this.
No, that's a great point. I mean, it's really a good point. And I can help a little bit on this round table because
just a little.
I've been there when we drafted him and brought him in and had to develop him. So I know what it takes to develop him. And that's
but the expectations for Jayon Brown when he came in. We're like, well, that guy could turn into something. The expectation for Rashawn Evans is drop him in and watch him go.
You are spot on. And with a training camp, it would have been that guy because he has the requisite ability to do it. But again, as I say, and then we have just touched on reading run keys. Now you're talking about pass routes. You're talking about reading formations. You're talking about, you know, being able to pass off receivers. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And your point, Paul, is so well taken because expectations in today's National Football League, the way the draft is set up, the way free agency is set up, the way the salary cap is set up, you draft a guy high, you expect him to come in and be that guy right now. Okay, you know, the public persona of development for players in the National Football League has shrunk immensely. You know, you used to could develop. Well, when Keith Bullock was drafted here, he didn't start when he first came in here, right? Probably one of the best linebackers ever to play here. But he was able to develop. You know, he was able to develop, even though he was a high pick, you know, 37, but he's still a first-round pick. But he was able to develop. I mean, just saying something locally that the fans here have witnessed. But he wasn't expected to start immediately. The way the National Football League is now, and you're 100% right, you take those guys there, same thing Corey Davis last year. And he went through the same thing because he missed training camp, and you could see him progressively get better. But what happens is if you don't get him until the season starts, well, then the season is ramped up. Everybody's got their foot on the accelerator, and you're still trying to figure out how to work the stick shift.
Coach Mack, when you watch the Ravens defense, give me two or three things that stand out immediately to you.
Number one, very, very multiple and very – Wink does a great job of disguising his blitzes. And he will bring them from every place known to man. And a lot of it goes back to, Jonathan, what you said, a safety that's able to, you know, get people. I would not be surprised if Martindale is not doing what we call BTF, which is blitz the formation, as far as giving him, you know, a couple of blitzes to say, okay, and he may not even have to give it to him because they've gone over the game plan. So, well, look, this is second and seven. They've got 11 personnel in the ball game. Here's your two options. Now, if you've got a 3-by-1 set and you got the cut split on the backside, we want to run this. We want to bring four from the weak side and flood the strong side zone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those
when they break the huddle, they have two options based on formation.
I would think they might, you know, just because of what Weddle can do and because of the way this defense looks, you know, with what they do. Number one, I mean, it's a multiple blitz package. All right. Number two is they can rush the passer. They can rush the passer without bringing extra people. And so that always helps. All right, and that to me is really big. And then the next thing that impresses me about Martindale that and he's borrowed this from a lot of people. He took a lot of it from Dean Pease. They do a great job of disguising what they're doing. You know, they're not going to line up and just give you here's where we are, and that is and especially even if you are trying to go up tempo on them, they have got enough in their package that they can show you one look and go to another look, even if you're going up tempo.
Flacco different than he's been? I know he had a great preseason and everybody was fired up about him. I haven't looked at them enough to know how well it's carried over. And I know they're coming off a bad offensive game.
Paul, here's been always my take on Flacco. Flacco is a guy that has the requisite skills to do it. Flacco is a very streaky guy.
Yeah.
You know, very streaky. But he's still got the capabilities of hurting you. And they've done, I think John Harbaugh and Ozzie in his last year that Ozzie's going to be there has done everything he can in bringing in those three new receivers to try to maximize everything they can get out of Flacco this year. Because, you know, they had a down year last year and they're trying to do, because he's still their guy. I mean, they paid him like he's the man, right? And so he's the guy they brought in Snead, Crabtree, and Brown to really help him out, to make him, bring him back up to a level, at least on a consistent basis, that they paid for.
Coach Dave McGinnis has been our guest. He's headed out to Titans practice in just a little bit. What's something that, as we close up here, the offense last week couldn't get much going at all. The turnover is a huge factor. What's something that they have to do this week to win against the Ravens?
They've got to get back into a rhythm. They can't just be pecking and searching. You know, Matt needs to get back into a rhythm like we saw against Philadelphia, because, you know, this offense, again, we've talked about it being a consecutive call offense as to where you're setting things up. It never looked to me like because he wasn't. He wasn't in any kind of rhythm setting any type of calls up. And when you're playing a defense like this, you need to search early to see where they're going to align against certain personnel groups and formations, and also what their thought process is as far as pressure-wise, and then be able to start building your calls off of that. And the only way you can do that is you've got to get into a rhythm doing it. And plus, as hard as it's going to be, because this is a good run defense again, we've played some good run defenses, you've got to have some success on the ground so that you can start working your screen package, because screen packages against this group is big.
Feels like, just to close up, this is going to be a grind. This is not one of those games where you run away with it. And maybe as an offensive play caller, you have to go in to run a few things to try to set up something for later in the game.
Yeah, yeah, you need to do that. And again, it's a grind. Guys, we've all been here through the whole Baltimore thing, right? I mean, we've had our hearts ripped out, and we've had big games with them, and we've done some. It's always a grind against Baltimore.
And the number one thing for rhythm, but before you can get any rhythm going, you need not turn the ball over.
Oh, yeah.
Three times.
Which they've done well, except for last week.
Thank you, Paul. And that's 100% right, because that, again, you know, that destroyed everything they were trying to do, because they had something. You could see where he was starting to do. He's got the ball. He got the screen early. He got the thing. And then you turn the ball over. Then you're starting over.
Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Check him out on the call with Mike Keith this Sunday on Titans Radio.